Kind of fast, kind of not. Either way, always running or talking about it. Welcome to the Kind of Fast podcast, powered by Upward Running. Let's get into it.
Hello, and welcome back to the Kind of Fast podcast, where we talk about running, real life, and everything in between.
And even sometimes watermelon or DeWaltermelon, like we've got here, but we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the show.
Yep, we are still on the Courtney DeWaltermelon train, solely because it's fun to say. I'm just kidding, not solely. But stay tuned till the end of the episode to find out how you can win some free stuff.
And YouTube served me up an old race documentation of hers from a few years ago this weekend, and me and my wife and daughter watched it. It was pretty interesting.
So nice.
Her name continues to be a part of what I keep hearing.
Before we get into all of our fun giveaway and stuff, let's talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Yep. What's on the agenda?
Okay. We've got a lot to go over. First and foremost, I know we've talked about it multiple times, but we are going to dive deeper into the Couch to Marathon program that starts on September 29th. Of course, we're going to go over running news, my personal favorite segment. And Travis ran a race this week, last week. We're going to find out how that went.
And it went well. Like, I was a little worried during the race what I was going to say on today's podcast, but it went well, and we'll get more into that here in a little bit. Whether you're hanging tight, getting ready for those first workouts in the Couch to Marathon program that we are starting about a month from now, or you're training for Chicago, New York, maybe Marine Corps Marathon, and you're logging those long runs, maybe it's still hot out there wherever you live. Whichever one of those fits, we're happy you're here. We're happy you are listening. We hope we can put a smile on your face today and maybe give you a tidbit or a little bit of information that you can take with you and learn a little bit more about what this running thing is all about.
I love it. So it's time for our next segment, and we need a drum roll. This is What Does That Even Mean? And today, we're going to talk about what a race pacer is.
Yep. So there's two different types of pacers in my mind. There is what you would see on the track. So if you're watching a race right now, it's outdoor track season. And so you'll see these people in distance races. It's not a thing you'd see in sprint races. But anything from the 800 and beyond, 800 being a half mile and beyond on the track, you'll see someone out there and they immediately sprint to the front of the pack in that first corner when they take off and they are leading it out there. And you're like, man, that guy's amazing. I've never seen him before. That girl's amazing. I've never actually seen. Well, probably a pacer in the race. And their goal out is to run the pack through a certain distance at a certain pace. They know exactly what their lap split should be, and they're actually getting paid to, you know, do that pacing duties. And at some point in time, they'll step off the track and the leaders will keep on going. And that's kind of the pacer on the track side. I think what you're wanting to talk about more today is a road racing pacer, which you primarily see in marathons, sometimes in half marathons, those type of distances. And so these are the people that might have a sign that they're holding up with a specific number up on top of it when you're starting at the starting line. Those are the type of people that would be the road racing pacers. And generally, they'll do it by 15-minute segments. So you might have a three-hour pacer in a marathon, 3:15, 3:30, 3:45, 4. Every marathon's going to do it a little bit differently, but that's what I've seen most commonly.
Yep, same here. And these pacers really are not there for them. They're not there to achieve their PR. Pacing to help you achieve your PR. Now, Travis.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your view on race pacers.
I think that in a big race like this is great if you don't have a specific time goal that you're trying to go after. If your goal is to finish and you say, I think I would finish around 4 hours in a marathon, and you want to get locked in with a marathon pace group at the 4 hour mark and you want to run with them, I think that's a great time to use a pacer, and that group mentality can really, you know, take some of the mind piece out of it, because you're just trying to run with this pack and you're just trying to stay with it. If you have a very specific goal You know, I've always had a coach that said, why would I leave my goal up to another human that's not me? And so Pacers are notorious for not actually hitting their paces that they're supposed to. Sometimes you see hot races where they'll just step off the course at some point in time and be like, you know what? That's it for me today. And so, you know, you're relying on someone else to help you get to your goal if it's a time-based thing. And I think that's a risky proposition. If you end up being and running around, you know, someone that's doing pacing duties and that's a help for you in a race, great. I just wouldn't rely on it. That's what I would say.
Okay, now that is a hot take because personally, I think pacers can help instill confidence because you're running with a group that can be encouraging and a pacer who should hopefully hit their goal. Now, I didn't even think about them not hitting their goal.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. I bet if there are 10 pacers out there for a given race, even though these people are probably running 30 minutes slower than their PR in a marathon, for example, I bet half of them don't hit it. What's the plus minus on that? You know, by a couple minutes, about a half of them don't hit it within a couple minutes in a lot of these marathons. And some, it might be even more drastic than that. So I know that marathons actually do the best job they can. There's even some things where you can join these pacing duties type things and they'll fly you in from other places in the country to help be a pacer if they think that you are a good person to have as that. And so obviously they're investing in people to do it as good as they can. But I would never, ever, for my races that I care about my times at this point in time, I would never rely on a pacer. No chance. Only time that I can remember where a pacer thing was interesting to me and I tried to hang on and end up not being able to do it. It was, Houston last year kind of blew up. I ended up having to take 4 weeks off right before the race because of a stress fracture. The time that I wanted to hit, that pacing group passed me at some point in time. And I thought, ooh, maybe I can just hang. I can jump in to the back of this group and hang on. I could not. I was, you know, beyond done at that point and just trying to make it to the finish line. But that's an example of like, hey, I was looking for motivation. This was motivation. I tried for a few minutes to hang on. I couldn't there, but that's something else you can think about.
Yeah, I would go to say, I feel like if you are running a marathon or a half marathon for your first time, maybe that would be a good idea to run with pacers.
I agree. Because I think a lot of people, their first marathon, you shouldn't necessarily have I like hard time goals.
Yeah.
You've never experienced what it feels like to run the last 10K of a marathon. And so if your goal is to finish and finish around a reasonable time, but ultimately the goal is to finish and to feel good about it and want to do a second one. Like if that's your goal going into the race, then that falls in the column of like, yes, pacers sound good to me.
So I've never personally used a pacer. Now, I think it would be so much fun because I'm a people person. And if I'm not going for, like you, to your point, if I'm not going for a hard goal, I can see myself kind of hanging out with the party pace and just having a good time.
To your point, and to strengthen the point, these people are generally longtime runners who have done marathons over and over and maybe even have helpful hints, tips, tricks along the way if you're running in the pack with them. So in some settings, it can be a good one. That setting is just not for me in my current state.
Well, if you guys have ever used a pacer, let us know. I want to know your experience. Tell us your story. Leave a comment. I mean, find us on the internet at www.upwardready.com/kindoffast and let us know. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to hear.
That'd be fun to see.
All right, let's move on to our next segment. It's all about news, and it is arguably the best segment on the whole show.
Well, it's fun and fresh every time, and so I'm glad that you're excited about it because I've been a longtime track fan. I think you're coming along on the track fandom, so that's fun for me.
And it helps because you always send these videos, and that actually brings us to our very first news segment. We're going to talk about Nagoose.
Yeah, Jared Nagoose is an American 1500-meter runner. He's been on the scene for a few years now and had an amazing year last year. Went from a guy who was definitely, you know, was a name people knew about to a bronze medal in the Olympics. I mean, just monumental, top of the mountain type moment for him in that race. And then the bottom of the valley happened just a month or so ago at the U.S. Championships, where you finished third in the world on the biggest stage in the Olympics, and then you finished fifth in your own country the next season at the U.S. Championships. And so I'm sure that was a real low for him. But there is this backdoor way of still getting in the World Championships. We only take the top three from the U.S. Championships into the World Championships, which is mid-September. It's a backdoor way into it through some Diamond League events. And he had a great race this past week, won the race. But tell us more about how that race went.
Yeah, so he is trying so hard to secure a bye into the world. So he jumped from 12th to 4th in the Diamond League race that Travis was just talking about, which was, I mean, that's a big jump.
She's talking about, yeah, in the points that you're racking up throughout the season. Like, he didn't think he was in 12th because he didn't think he needed the Diamond League points to get in. He has the bad U.S. Championship finish, and so now points really do matter, and he's got to get into that final race there. So huge, huge race here to help with that.
Yeah, it kind of felt like his redemption race, honestly, because after he missed the world's team at the trials, this was kind of like his comeback moment, per se, to get in, which is really cool. And I will actually drop the clip of the video here so everybody else can see too.
A really nice languid style, gritting his teeth. Nagoose, can he make up for that huge disappointment at the US trials? They're chasing him. Are they going to get there? No, they're not. A couple of Kenyans coming on the inside. Nagoose, though, is going to get there. Job done from Nagoose. A big step forward to qualification for the Diamond League final in Zurich. He needs to get there. He then needs to win it. And then, and only then, would he be in Tokyo. But he's atoned nicely there.
And then... Yeah, Josh Hoey, another runner in the U.S., is on a similar path. Like, he ran in the race as well, did pretty well in the race. I can't recall what finish, but he was the indoor champion at a similar distance earlier this year. So he's trying to do the same thing there.
Nice. Well, they're both having really good statement races. It'll be fun to keep track. And I forgot to even write this down for us to talk about, but we can kind of see if he'll end up on our list for the September Madness Challenge we're going to play.
That's true. Yep. And here's the crazy thing. A guy who finishes fifth in the U.S. Championships, if he gets in, he still might win. Like, he is that good. He's got a chance. He's rounding into form. So the problem with some of these things is you can only have one peak. And I'm sure he was thinking, I'm a shoe-in for the U.S. Championships. Like, I finished third in the world in the Olympics. I'm a shoe-in for that. I'm still working on my training. I'm not refined at the U.S. Championship points. I want to be at my peak at the World Championships. And so he just didn't have that finishing speed that he needed on the U.S. Champs Day. But he might at the World Championship if he can get there. And I think Cole Hawker, he's the Olympic champion from last year. Also, a U.S. person would have something to say about that. But 1500 race, best race in track, no doubt about it.
Up next, I was doom scrolling and I finally figured out why I'm not a fast runner and why I have slowed down this summer. So I was doom scrolling and I saw a post on Runner's World Instagram feed, and it said, there's a picture and it said, you may be breathing in invisible fumes during your race. And scientists say, it's slowing you down. So I thought, you know what? Yes, that is why I'm slowing down. Let's blame the fumes.
Yeah, for sure. This is 100% why, you know, you're slowing down. You're at the front of the pack always. And it's the fumes from the race lead car. Yeah, sure.
But I did my research. Hear me out. I skimmed the article, and the scientists are saying that the exhaust from the lead vehicles, you know, the cars that are kind of leading the pack, or it could be a motorcycle, or it could be multiple motorcycles, which means more fumes, can actually slow you down. We're talking fine particulate matter, and they are calling this PM 2.5 that's small enough to get into your lungs, into your bloodstream, and slow you down. And to be honest, I have no idea what that means, but I'm running with it.
I hear you. It does, you know, all the running we do on the roads, you got to think that's only times 10 probably when we're running with traffic on a busy road or something like that.
And
you know, you're talking about a single car in front of a race field. We do a whole lot more than that on weekly, daily runs all the time. I did think of something that could solve this problem.
Okay.
An electric car. No fumes. So maybe this article from Runner's World will lead to change that will put electric cars or bikes or something like that at the front of these fields to lead people along and not put the fumes all over them.
Yeah. You know, to that point, have you ever been to a bike race like a Criterium, I think they're called?
Criterium.
That's Criterium. Right. Yeah. And they have the car that's in front of all those bikes there that's slowing them down too.
Yeah, could be. Even a smaller course on that.
Yeah. But I really am serious. The studies show that marathon runners going behind those vehicles see their finish times dropping by 20 to 30 seconds.
That's enough.
That really is a lot.
That's enough to make a big difference.
Yep. So if you're ever running a race and you're like, man, why am I slowing down? It might not be your fitness. It might be the fumes.
All right. What's next in the news?
Okay, well, it actually might not just be the fumes. It could be your vitamins, too.
Okay.
So in addition to my doom scrolling, I stumbled upon an article that talked about vitamin D deficiency and how multiple runners have this deficiency. And I was blown away because I am running outside in the sun almost daily. Like, am I not getting enough vitamin C? Apparently not.
Yeah, most people think vitamin D comes from the sun. And actually, we runners are out there a whole lot. Now, technically, I run in the dark most of the time. So I run a lot, but most of it's pre-dawn in the morning, especially here in the summertime. But that is true that the average runner would be outside more often than the average public, right? Person. Yeah.
I would say so, 100%. And vitamin D is huge for not just runners, but for everyone. It supports your bones, your muscles, even your immune system. And low levels can lead to fatigue, slower recovery, and stress fractures. Travis, maybe that's why you're injured.
Yeah, I mean, my doctor, that was his first question he asked me when I went to him and was talking about the stress injury I had earlier this year, but my vitamin D levels were fine. We did check it that time. Now, I have had a vitamin D deficiency in the past. This is probably 5 or 6 years ago it was checked, and it was, there's a range, and my orthopedic doctor would say that's a range for the general public. Runners or athletes in general need to be in the top half of that range. You know, generally, you know, to avoid bone issues out there. And mine was at the very low end. It was like on the bottom of the range of what was acceptable for the general public. So he put me on like a very, very high dosage for a couple months and got it back up.
Fascinating.
That was something that's happened to me in the past.
So vitamin D isn't just about your bones, though. That's the kicker. It also helps with muscle contraction, nerve signals, and even your mood. So if you're feeling just bleh, I mean, it might not be that you're having a bad run. It might not be that you're burnout. It could be your vitamin D.
I knew you were going to talk about vitamin D. So I looked up something today about vitamin D, and I learned something. So I'm going to pass it on to you guys. I have thought, and someone told me this at some point in time, years ago, that vitamin D needed vitamin C to be absorbed. You needed to take both together from a supplement standpoint. If you're supplementing vitamin D, you need vitamin C to have that absorbed. If you're just taking it by itself, you're just pissing it out, is what I'd always heard. So I've always tried to take them both together. What the old trusty Google told me was that's not true. In fact, they're absorbed two different ways, and so they have no effect
what
on each other at all. So what do I know, right? But I've been going with this with this thinking for a long, long time. And so I learned that. I did learn this as part of the research today. Vitamin D is best absorbed when taken with food, specifically foods that have fat in it.
Really?
Yep. And so that you'll get your best absorption there. Vitamin C, which I've been trying to take with vitamin D this whole time, best taken on an empty stomach.
Vitamin C?
Yep, on vitamin C from an absorption.
No shot. I get so nauseous if I do that.
Well, and so for me, I take both at the end of the day together. I probably still have something on my stomach, but it's not with a meal. But I take them before I go to bed in the evening. So we do the best we can. We're always learning. Well, that's my new information for you today on vitamin D and C.
Yeah, I have never heard that before, honestly. So I learned something new too. But I will say, don't always believe things you read on the internet. Kind of like the race fume situation.
This is not an Instagram reel that I was getting it from. This is the old trusty Google AI.
So oh, gotta trust that.
Gotta be right.
So between the fumes coming out of the lead vehicles and a vitamin D deficiency, I've got every excuse in the book for my next race. Oh, speaking of racing, Travis, tell us.
I ran the Midnight Flight 5K on Friday night as a 9 p.m. start. It's a race I've done 4 or 5 times. I've done it 3 out of the last 4 years for sure. And it's my rust buster. I ran the Houston Marathon in January and I've not raced since then. I am not a serial racer. It's just, I believe in working towards a goal and then seeing if you achieve that goal and then resetting and starting again. I met someone at the race on the starting line that listens to this podcast and recognized me, blown away, could not believe it. Sheila and Cliff Finney had listened to the podcast that morning and had heard I was going to be at the race, as I mentioned it last week. Saw me and introduced themselves, and we got to talk for a little bit longer.
I love that.
After the race, Sheila actually won the Grandmasters race for the females, took home some cash money. So she's an Upward Running member, and that was really cool to get to meet and talk with them. They are serial racers. They were racing again the next day. That was Friday night. They were racing again the next day. I think Sheila said that they raced something like 64 times last year.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Wow.
That is so much. I race 3 to 5 times probably a year. So for this one, it was just meant to get me to feel the feels of what a race is again, like that, you know, adrenaline that gets with you and that kind of burn that you feel in a race and that gut check that when you know you got to go late in a race and you don't want to, you just need to feel that some. And so I got my marathon coming up, I think 9 weeks out at this point. I wanted to feel it once or twice. I plan to run another 10K next week as like my second rust buster here, but it was a great night. It was raining. It was some lightning off in the distance. I was a little worried they were going to cancel the race right there before we started, but took off. And that first mile and a half, which is all downhill, it's like a slight, slow downhill kind of run. That is exactly what running's supposed to feel like. I felt light and fast and quick, and I think Garmin said it was my fastest mile I've ever run, maybe.
Wow.
It said my fastest 2 miles I've ever run. I've been running on a Garmin watch for 7 or 8 years now. So got out quick, turned the corner, then you got a mile and a half back uphill to the finish line. And that's a grueling one there. I think it was, my watch said something like 170 feet climb from the midpoint up to the finish line, but Did everything I could. Really, I wish I could have run faster that last mile. And I would have had a shot at maybe an adult PR if I did that, but couldn't quite hold the pace. But it was good enough to run 19:05 on the day, which is right around where I thought I might be at this point. But you can think you are somewhere, but until you do it, you don't know. So that's right in line with where the calculator would say I should be for the marathon goal time that I'm looking at later this year. So it's like confirmation that I'm where I'm supposed to be, like 9-10 weeks out at this point. And the really cool thing, totally unexpected, but I finished third in the Masters, and generally third in the Masters in this race probably runs a little bit faster than I did. And they pay out money for the third in the Masters. So I got paid. I'm a professional runner now. Like, I'm a different person on this podcast today. And I just could, it was never even in the calculus at all that would be remotely possible, but a really cool, really cool experience to do that. And yeah, it's fun event.
Wait, so that means we had two Upward Running members who were on the podium and won money.
And brought home.
Nice.
Yep, totally.
Kind of fast.
Totally. I thought that was a good nod to Upward Running as well.
That's sure. Great. So I have to ask, what did you eat before?
Yeah, I sent you this. I sent you a picture of it because I thought it was funny. A few weeks ago, we were talking about nutrition and crazy things people eat. Yeah. And I needed to eat something for this 9 o'clock race. You know, I had to have something on my stomach for dinner. And I was about to head down. And I had said on the podcast a few weeks ago, what I used to say was my rocket fuel was like just crap McDonald's or something. And when I left the house and I was trying to figure out what I was going to eat, I happened to have this $5 McDonald's gift card in my car that's been sitting there for a year. And I was like, you know what? Let's see if this rocket fuel thing still works for me. And so I went and got me a burger and ran down there, and all was good. No problems at all. And it was the rocket fuel that led me onto the podium.
There you go. Now, nothing does it like a Big Mac and winning money. Well, congratulations, Travis. That is really exciting. And shout out to Cliff and Sheila. That's amazing. Yeah. Sounds like a good night.
They were fun to talk with, and really enjoyed it. Yep.
Sweet. Well, that was Travis's race recap. And it's super fun to hear about what it's like on the podium side of things. But here's the thing. A lot of us aren't chasing medals every weekend. A lot of us are just trying to figure out how this whole running thing works and how to even start running. And that is exactly why we're excited to talk about our next topic, which
is the Couch to Marathon that we're about to start.
Yeah, and I know that we have mentioned this before, but buckle up, we're going to mention it a few more times because our next Couch to Marathon program starts on September 29th, and that's just a few weeks away. So if you've been waiting for the perfect time to start, this is your sign.
And the coaching that you're going to get, the community that you're going to get, it's second to none, and people pay a lot more money to help them get guided along in a program like this other places. And so we would love to have you join us for that program starting later in September. And I should note, our app can take you Couch to Marathon anytime. You don't have to wait for this national kickoff if you ever want to. If you're listening to this 6 months from now and you're like, oh, that sounded great. I wish I could have got in. You can start on Monday on the Couch to Marathon program in the app. We just find that it is really good for people to take this journey together and to have this community together as you work through the year. And so the September 29th date is a date that nationwide, there'll be a bunch of people that signs up for it, and they'll be on the same exact journey at the same exact time as you move through it.
Yeah, and to that point, it's really cool when that happens because everyone can talk about their shared experience together. That was a great point. And honestly, we've seen so many people come through this program. I'm talking hundreds of people come through this program. People who swore they weren't real runners. And then they crossed a marathon finish line. They're part of that 1%.
Top 1%, yeah. So some of the things that makes this plan different. We start with the basics, building consistency, teaching you how to fuel your body, how to pace, how to recover, how not to do too much too often so that you get injured early on. You know, that's what happens on a lot of these things. You got all this motivation early on. They're like, okay, Couch to Marathon, here we go. What's next? Oh man, my knee's hurting, you know? And so we've done this so many times as an organization, we'll be able to guide you along to make sure that you are doing it appropriately and at a pace that's going to get you to your ultimate goal, but get you there safely.
Yeah, you've got not only community, you've got coaches, accountability partners, and other people on the same journey. What's really cool is that on Thursday nights, as a member, you can join Coach Dean live and ask him your questions, get tips and tricks from Coach Dean live. I mean, this is a coach who has decades worth of experience at your fingertips.
Yeah, absolutely. And other people are going to have questions during that time because they're on the same journey as you. And you might not even be thinking about that question yet, but you can go ahead and get the answer because someone else is thinking about that kind of thing. You know, the other thing that we're bringing to the table here is a devotional tie-in each week. And so while growing your fitness journey is important, we want to help you grow in your spiritual journey as well.
And let's be real, on those long run days where you really want to quit, having a deeper why makes such a big difference. And while we're talking about marathons, one of my favorite things is when we get to bring in thoughts from Coach Dean, because he has run more marathons than probably most of us ever want to even think about running in our life. So I got some information from him and it is truly spot on.
I was listening to the Upward Running podcast last night when I was running, and he was talking about a runner that did 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 days. That's a logistical nightmare, but it's also that's a lot of miles. 26 miles, 50 straight days. This person did. And Dean said, I think I could do it. That's the coach we're talking about here. This guy's he's a beast. He can handle it for sure.
I can actually see him doing that, though. Like 100%, I can see him doing that. But here's how Coach Dean breaks it down. There are stages, he said, that you can expect to go through in the marathon. So miles 1 through 6, you're excited, the crowds are loud, the adrenaline is high, you're basically telling yourself, wow, I feel amazing, this is easy, I could do this all day. The danger here is starting out too fast.
All right, so miles 7 through 13, he says, settle into your rhythm. It's fun, but now it's all about patience. Resist the urge to push. I can say that I have felt that in marathons as well. Like, man, today's my day. I'm feeling great. Let's roll. I'm telling you, mile 12 of the New York City Marathon, you come off of the Queensboro Bridge and you hit Fifth Avenue, and the crowds are 10 people deep on both sides of the street and they're going crazy. And man, you want to fly right there, but it's not time. It's time to just be in a rhythm at that point.
Miles 14 through 20, this is the grind. The hype fades, the legs feel heavy, and you are counting down instead of cruising. This is arguably my two experiences in a marathon, the hardest part of the race by far.
Yeah, it's always that point, a little bit past halfway. This is in other races too, like the mile race. It's always lap 3 that's so hard to hold your pace because you're through the initial, you know, excitement of the start of the race, but you're not to that final lap on that one. And in this one, man, you're running 20 miles, which may be the length of your longest training run, and you still got 10K to go, and you're like, how am I going to do another 10K at this point? It's the grind of it for sure. You just gotta trust your training at that point.
Yeah, trust your training. That is a huge point. All right, miles 20 through 23, the wall. Have you experienced the wall?
I have experienced the wall, yes.
Yep, I've experienced the wall, and it's been right here, miles 20 through 23. So Coach Dean truly got this right. So doubt creeps in. Why am I doing this? Dean always says, expect this moment. If you plan for it, you can run through it and you can fight through it. So the pain cave, speaking of Courtney DeWalt.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's such a great point to know it's going to be hard and to embrace that hard because you're doing hard things. And that's why we're doing it for a lot of people. We're embracing the hard things that we're taking on there. And the wall should probably be a what does that even mean topic for us here soon. But to give it a 10-second thing, your body can't hold enough energy generally to make it through a whole marathon. And so unless you're putting nutrition and calories back in, you just will run out of your quick burning energy around about mile 20, which happens to be what the, everyone equates to the wall. And so that's what they're talking about.
All right, coming up next week on What Does That Even Mean? The Wall.
Yep, fun topic. All right, so the last segment here from Coach Dean, he says, miles 24 to 26.2, you're tired, everything hurts, but your heart and grit carry you through. Dean says, the marathon isn't about the first 20 miles. It's about what you discover in the last six. And for me, this is what it's all about. I mean, this is where you embrace the pain. You embrace the hard work. You think about it ahead of time. You try to think about ways that you can overcome it when you get there. And when you cross that finish line, the overwhelming feeling of accomplishment, no matter how long you've been doing this or how many marathons you've done, will still be there because of what happens in those last few miles there.
Yeah, I got chills. There is truly nothing like crossing that finish line.
So September 29th, we're starting the Calcium Marathon class. That's a nationwide one if you want to do it with a bunch of other people. That's the day the plan begins. If you've ever thought about doing a marathon, or even if you just need a huge goal to get you moving again, now is your chance.
Yep. And we'll be with you every step of the way from day one until the finish line, October 2026 at the Cannonball Running Festival or whatever marathon you choose. We will be with you checking in on your progress, seeing how you're doing in the app. It'll be a good time.
So if you're listening right now and you say, there's no way I could do that, trust me, you can. We can help you get there. We've seen people who doubted themselves run their strongest miles at the end of this program.
Yep. And if you're already a runner, but you've never really taken that leap to 26.2, Mom, I'm looking at you. This could be the season of God's calling you to go farther, not just for a medal, but to truly discover what you are capable of. Okay, before we leave the Couch to Marathon segment, let's talk about some of me and Travis's top tips about running a marathon. I will go first and kick us off. My tip number one is to get to the race early. They tell you to get there early, go earlier than early. If you're not early, you are late. Nothing, and I mean nothing, is worse than rushing to the start because you're stuck in the porta potty line and fighting for parking. Give yourself extra time so you are not stressed out, because you're already going to be nervous, and running late is not ideal.
Yeah, I think the main thing there, and I'm a cut it close person. I mean, people around here know that if I'm going to the airport and we're all flying somewhere, you know, everybody get there an hour before I do, and the doors will be open. They're like, "Where's Travis?" And that's about the time I walk up. So that's who I am as a person. I like enjoy that kind of thing. But on a race day where you're trying to perform at the top of your ability, this is the time to like take as much stress out of it as you can. And getting there early and making sure that you're stretched out and use the bathroom and you've got all of your gels, if that's what you're needing for a long run or something like that. You got all of it secured and you're in the right corral. That's a great tip there. So I'll give my number one tip here. And that would be, have a realistic goal and go for it. And, you know, I like to say, only A goals, as in ABC. Only A goals. That's all. We're not going to have a step down goal. We're going to have an A goal only, and we're going to go for it. And so for a lot of people, if it's their first marathon, the goal should be to finish and to have a good time and to finish in a way that you would want to do another one and not push it all the way to the absolute edge, because you truly do not know how you're going to feel that last 10K until you go through it one time. And so that is a worthy, noble goal to finish a marathon in your first time and whatever time that might be. I think that's a good one. But have a realistic goal and go for it and try to have a good time.
I love that. Okay, my second tip is to find community. Training with a group, having community, sharing your goals with these people so they can help hold you accountable is paramount. And it's fun to tell people you're running a marathon and training for a marathon. So find your community and stick with it.
Love that one. My second tip here would be, figure out a nutrition plan for the race in the weeks leading up to the race and then stick with it. stick with what has worked in your training on race day. So if you've never done a marathon, most of these marathons have an expo that you go to the day before and you pick up your packet and there's all these vendors and they've got all kinds of other types of nutrition that you've never seen before. And you're like, ooh, that one has some nice, cute packaging or something. Maybe I'll try that one. Now, the time to figure out what works and what will be acceptable for you on race day is in the preceding 4 to 6 weeks when you're doing those long runs and trying to dial in some nutrition there. So figure out what works there and then use it on race day. And if you want to tweak it in the next one based on something you saw at the expo, great, but not this one.
Totally, and 1,000% agree with that. Okay, my last tip is to document, document, document. You will never, ever have another first marathon experience again. Document your training runs. Take the pictures. Take the selfies. Document everything. I, to this day, rarely go on a run where I don't take a picture or write what I did down. And this is actually a really good idea to go ahead and get the Win Today journal so you can document your runs. I'm telling you, you're going to want to remember this experience.
Well, good plug on the Win Today journal there. And I'm with you, you know. This is a real cool experience. It's something that, you know, you might tell your kids or grandkids about one day or some people around you. It's a major, major achievement to be able to do. So I love the idea of documenting and making sure that you can remember all the different aspects that it took to get to the race and then complete the race.
Love that.
On to my final tip, and it would be, know what your why is. And really, this is work that you can start on today, no matter where you are in your training plans, if you never really thought about this. So why are you running? Why are you racing? And why is it important for you to finish this race or go after this goal that you're going after? That's what I want to push you on here. You know, for me, The why is I want to prove I've still got it. That's like my phrase. I want to prove I've still got it, that I'm still tough, that I'm still gritty, and that I can still try to achieve hard things in my life as like me personally, like something I can control 100% myself. And so that leads into the mantras that I have on race day. And so, you know, I might say to myself over and over and over in that last 10K of a marathon, I'm strong. I'm tough. This is what I do. I'm strong. I'm tough. This is what I do. Because my why is tied back to proving that I still have it. For you, that could be something very, very different. So just think about why you're doing this, why it's important, because 100% chance late in a long run, like a half marathon or marathon, that's going to come up if you're really pushing it. And you can draw on that as motivation to help get you to the finish line.
Man, that was good. I need a mantra. I'm going to use that in my next race for sure coming up in October. But there you have it. Some real, relatable, and practical tips going into your first marathon. Before we leave today, just a quick reminder about our Tailwind Courtney DuWalter's DuWaltermelon giveaway. So all you have to do, you don't have to purchase anything. You just have to like the podcast. You can hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. It could be YouTube. It could be Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. And then leave us a comment either on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever. And then next week or next Friday, I'm going to put all your names in a flywheel and we will choose the winner live right here.
Sounds fun.
And Travis is throwing in a free Upward Running t-shirt too.
Get you hooked up. So when you show up on the next race line, you can look like you are a part of a great community like Upward Running.
Boom. So speaking of Upward Running, what are you doing this week, running wise?
I mean, so my legs still feel like they haven't recovered from the race last weekend. We're taping this on a Wednesday. My race was on Friday. I did run 16 on Sunday on those tired legs, and it probably didn't help things out a lot. So just a normal training week for me, long run this weekend, planning to race again next week, but really kind of looking forward to getting back to the normal routine of a week, like I've had for many, many weeks leading into last week, but we probably won't be able to do that until after Labor Day.
Yes, Labor Day is coming up quick, mm-hmm. But you'll get back to it. Yeah. And you're still doing what you need to do.
Yeah, still checking the boxes and getting it done. But yeah, these races kind of throw a little bit of a kink in things.
Did I just use toxic positivity? I think I did. Well, I've got a fun week. I did some 400s yesterday, which felt really good. I was just kind of bored, you know? So I was like, I'm going to do some 400s because why not? And I got to use my Garmin watch, the lap feature, which I've never used before. So that was great. I've got some shorter runs this week. And then my long run on Saturday is going to be 7 miles. So not too long. And then I'll really jump into things the next week and it'll get all guns blazing. Is that even a word? I don't know, but we're going to go all in.
You'll be locking in on training.
Yep.
Heading towards that half marathon.
Yep. 10 weeks out. It is coming up quick. I am officially registered for the Sphinx Half Marathon in Greenville, South Carolina, and it's going to be a good time. Well, with that, our time is up. Don't forget, this podcast is powered by Upward Running, a community built to help you run with purpose, stay motivated, and find your people. As always, this journey is more than miles. God is in every step. He's with us on the good runs, the tough days, the quiet moments. It all matters to him. He is with you, he is for you, and he is using this season to grow something deeper inside of you.
At Upward Running, this is where faith and fitness meet. We'd love to run with you. Join us at upwardrunning.com/kindoffast. That's upwardrunning.com/kindoffast. And if you use the code kindoffast, you get 2 weeks free. And we know that you heard about it from the podcast, which is super cool. Like when Cliff came up to me at the start line and said, "Ooh, I saw you on the podcast. You must be Travis," which was very nice.
I love that so much. We will be back next Friday drawing our winner for our Tailwind giveaway and another episode.
And hey, if you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. It helps us out more than you know. We're still a new podcast trying to get out there. We're not quite to the New Heights Taylor Swift podcast level yet. We're coming for you. So keep showing up. Keep running your race. The one God has marked out just for you. See ya.
Bye. You're supposed to say bye, fools.
That's all you.
Such a big We will be back next.
You got me.
That's a wrap.